And I brought a presentation, and if it pleases yourself, I may run through it also. But otherwise, it will just remain additional information for now until we come and present. In the additional information, we brought it, some information on the cooperative. I know normally those details are required on the training. We brought some information on the graduates programs. There are various components in the graduates program. We just referred to graduates, but you will see the various elements of the graduates program in one of the details that we've provided. I've also brought a slide on the studies that have been done on smallholder farmers, because there are quite a number of studies that are running, and some of them would ultimately culminate in one comprehensive approach in supporting the smallholder farmers. And I just brought a slide to show those details. I will not necessarily present it unless required so. And also, I brought also a slide on some of the pipeline projects that have been discussed in the private sector. That would have some impact, a reasonable impact. And I've just included that. They are not concluded, but I brought that just to give a sense. And I thought this additional information may be useful, not necessarily part of what is required today. I'm going to spend on the presentation. I will not run through the whole presentation. I'll probably spend more time on the Section A. The Section B of the presentation is largely the details of the APP. I will not do that. The Marine Living Resources Fund also forms part of in the departmental program, Program 6. I probably am going to stop at Program 6. If needed, I'll do a few slides in Marine Living Resources Fund. But it has the details beyond what is in the contained in the department. Sure, I should also, I would want to say, I know we were just observers, but the remarks that have been made on the performance information, one should contextualize that, because it was very clear that the presenter had not looked at the technical indicator description. A number of things that he says there are not clear. They are clearly described, support what we mean. It is in the technical indicator description, but I believe because we will have engagement with RFC at a later stage, we will clean up those issues. There's one area where he was very correct. It's on the number of aquaculture projects, which is 8, but when you break it down, it's not, well, it's actually shown as 5. It should have been 5 plus 3. 5 phase 1, 3 phase 2, and I think that 3 of phase 2 has been omitted, and he was very, very correct on it. But we will bring that correction. I'm going back to the presentation. The slide number 5, I'll talk to the slide so that I don't lose anybody. It's basically the compliance statement. On slide number 6, this APP is premised on the key government priorities that are related to the National Development Plan and the New Growth Path, and on a number of policies, the National Food and Nutrition Security Policy, the Agricultural Policy Action Plan, and other related policies. On page or slide, I'm going to see 7 and 8 and spend a bit more time on slide number 9 on the situational analysis. As we implement our programs, we are aware that there is a lot of underutilized land in the communal areas, which remains a challenge that needs a lot of support, because the rural communities are the ones who bear the brunt of poverty and underdevelopment. We also do our programs in an environment where you have, because of a lot of movement both within the country and cross-border, there is a movement of people and goods, particularly of biological nature. If it goes, may lead to a higher risk that would require, that would expose the country to other biosecurity threats in terms of animal and plant diseases and pests, and therefore we would need to check that as it affects, of course, safety in terms of food and feed for animals. We also are aware of the growing food insecurity in the country, impacted by a number of things, the effects of climate change and variability, the declining investment in the sector, but also that particularly for the developing and new producers, market access remains one of those constraints that will have to be addressed over time. The sector also, the FFC has indicated we have to diversify and not put our eggs in one basket in terms of export destination and diversify also not only the export destination but also the commodities and the value added for us. Then the challenge of the growing smallholder sector that has its own challenges to make sure that it is a beneficial, profitable, so that you get the smallholder sector, which for the incidentally those are the more vulnerable people, bring them into a vibrant above poverty line, but also vibrant livelihoods. On the slide number 10, in terms of fisheries, we have limitations around the declining fish stocks due to depletion and depletion that comes due to over-exploitation. And of course, also because of illegal activities, but also the growing demand. The more participants you have, the more pressure you put on those. Of course, we are then bringing in the coastal communities who have been excluded by implementing a small-scale fisheries policy. It's one of those policies that, as we implement, because it's the first time, it will have its own teaching problems, and we expect that. There's been, of course, a decline in terms of forestry in the area that have been planted. Those also have not been maintained to the best level. There's been shortage of timber products also. And we also are aware, as Minister has indicated, that competitiveness in agriculture it gets affected by high and rising input costs of various nature. And, of course, the land use practices also, some of which are unsustainable, but also the remaining challenge of losing the land to other non-agricultural users. In terms of the slide number 11, the organizational environment, we're operating in a concurrent space, and this keeps coming, and that's the area we must manage well, and I will talk to that later. But also we need to make sure that we position our human resource capacity, including the youth, transforming the workplace, and of course addressing the challenges of the aging and ailing workforce, particularly in the remote area where the working conditions have to continually improve, but also some historical factors that come into play, and we have to make sure we improve our monitoring and planning. I'm going to skip the slide number 12 that deals with our planning processes to come to where we are in compliance. The next slide basically says there are four goals that we are implementing. Of course, goal number one is providing the leadership and the administrative support to make sure that the organization achieves. The goal number two, we would want to make sure that there is a profitable and safe production that will lead to increased market access. And goal number three deals with the food security initiative by creating an enabling environment to make sure that we improve food availability. And goal number four, that the resources that we use, the natural resources that we use, are used in a sustainable manner. And I'm going to skip slide number 14 on the objectives. I'll skip slide number 15 and spend a bit of time on the next slide from slide number 16 on part of the 5 years what we'll be doing. Firstly, we will, under program two, make sure we promote animal production and products by monitoring the implementation of the animal and plant improvement schemes in those areas where we have prioritized. We will also address regulatory frameworks to reduce the risk of disease outbreaks, both the animal and plant, and we are implementing a number of programs in those areas. I think one important part of this is now the development and the implementation of the animal disease and management plan, and the introduction of the compulsory community service for pets. That's one of our implementation to reduce the risk. And of course, ensuring the conservation of animal and plant genetic resources for that. Over time, we have material to be able to produce, particularly of those resources that are unique to us. Slide number 17, we will implement during this period the food national policy on food and nutrition security. We will improve our delivery capacity by enhancing our sector capacity policies that would be appropriate, and of course developing the graduates, extensioners, we will do that, and of course make sure that we develop and implement the comprehensive producer support policy. Slide number 18, we will improve market access, and a number of things we will do that include the certification, the accreditation program for smallholders to make sure that they are market ready. Ensure that the agro-processing entrepreneurs are capacitated according to non-standard standards, implement the Agri-BE fund, but also not only implement it, one of the challenges is ensuring the enforcement regime in the Agri-BE. The development of the trade strategy and international relations strategy, and the trade competitiveness development plan, and of course the support to the cooperatives, and of course the monitoring of the Agri-BEE sector codes and the forestry sector codes. In terms of program number 5, on slide number 19, we will ensure the conservation, the protection, the rehabilitation of the sustainable forest management. And there are a number of things that we will do. Some of those would include the replanting of the temporary unplanted plantation areas. We will make sure that we create an environment of being able for the SMEs to operate by assisting them with the EIAs that will be required, and it will open their participation. The revitalization of irrigation schemes within as part of what the National Development Plan had alluded to, we would continue to do that. And of course, the ensure that the framework for protecting and preserving the agricultural land is provided by completing the bill. And of course, restoring the various hectares of the land that are exposed to degradation, both in the forest land and the agricultural land. I think a very important stage where we are is to implement the climate change mitigation and adaptation plan. We have submitted our plan to the DR, who is the lead, and much of what we're doing is to implement, and now as we have plowed, it's even more important that we accelerate in those areas. Slide number 10, program number 6. One of the things that we do would include creating an enabling environment by concluding and implementing the agriculture bill, and of course providing support to the projects that have been identified in the plan that was developed under Operation Happy Salvation Ocean's Economy, and of course develop and implement the framework for allocating fishing rights and the small-scale fisheries policy, and ensure that we protect our resources by ensuring compliance and management of the fish stocks. On slide number 21, we showing the jobs that will be created where we as government are spending money directly. Now, this does not include the jobs that are created in the sector as a whole, but these are jobs that are created on those resources that we are spending directly. And I've indicated there for forestry, the land care, the CASP, and Ilimazima. The next slide, Chair, from slide number 23, those are the details in the program. And I don't know what your pleasure would be, but I would not go through those. And if you don't mind, I would move to either the MLRF if there is need. But we have also attached the budget from slide number 48, per program, per indicator, what is it that we would spend, and you see that the program administration would take 17% of our budget. Program number 2 on slide 49, and this is where program number 2, this is where ARC would have been allocated also, but in addition, this is what we would spend per individual indicators. The next budget on page 50, food security and agrarian reform. Ordinarily, this is where also we allocate money for the conditional grants that's going to the provinces, and 55% of that. Slot number 51, this is the budget that goes to trade, promotion, market access, or under the branch called economic development. Perhaps what I should just indicate, Chair, what I'm on slide 51. You will see, we show you what is the total for the targets in the APP, and we also show you what is spent on the services. And if I go back to slide where agriculture production is on 39, you will see that the total for the targets is 888 million, and the total budget is indicated as 1.9, but also you will see 1 billion as a whole is going towards the services. So the bulk of the budget in this program goes to services, number one, two, and to the conditional grant. So if you and ARC, once you've given away that, this bunch deals mainly with regulatory services. If you look at the slide on 50 on food security and agrarian reform, you will see that the services is lower, but the bulk of the budget is going towards development. I'm going to slide number 55, and that shows the forestry and natural resource management, and you will also see the split between the targets that are in the ADP and the other services. And sometimes I know there have been questions, why have you spent the whole budget, but not necessarily on the APP. The budget is split between the APP, which is what you have here, and the services that is in the operational plan. And those are the maintenance services we're providing to the communities and the clients on the whole. Slide 53, which is fisheries, you will see the split also between the targets, 432, in a budget of 458, because in this case we're largely providing funds for the staff, and of course a bit is allocated to the aquaculture, and of course some allocation that is done for vessels, but the rest is being funded from their revenue that they generate in the marine living resources. And slide number 54, it will show you of the total budget of the 6.3 billion, 50% goes to the targets in the APP, and the other 50% goes to the services. What you have in the, just the additional packet, because I have this, I'm done with that presentation, but I thought I want to pick up just on a few things that would be of interest to you. The graduate program. We have a number of programs that we are implementing for graduates, The one is there where we place youth with the industry. We call it the young producers. It's an industry placement. We also are working in collaboration with the PPCB on the Agri-Export Technology Services, where PPCB takes some young graduates, train them, and we would actually use some of this in our inspection services going forward. We also have a program, a professional development program, where we're funding researchers who are doing masters and PhDs. And then, of course, we have the normal internship program. What is new is the compulsory community services for vets, and what Minister has alluded to, project management and monitoring that would support not only CAF, but largely CAF. We will place graduates in the provinces who will strengthen our team, both during the planning and the monitoring, to help us with the verification, but also help us populate. One of the things that we're doing is to make sure that we keep our project register up to date. We have also started now with a farmer register, and we will require these graduates who are in the provinces to make sure that this data is captured on the system that we're developing. So we believe that this graduate program will become very, very useful, and we believe we will grow. At the moment, if we allocate 30 of them, and we think we will grow this program in the coming year. Also, what is included in the pack that we just distributed now, I just made those comments, because it affects all the programs that are dealing with the smallholder farmer. DPME has conducted evaluation on the following programs: the extension recovery program, the CASP. The impact has been, the study has been done. What remains is going back to cabinet with the improvement plan. Now, that improvement plan has been drafted, but it's not concluded, and DPMB has suggested that we wait until a few other studies are concluded. MAFISA, also the impact evaluation has been done. What is happening also now is the smallholder evaluation, diagnostic evaluation, of the smallholder support program, and when all these are completed, an improvement plan on support for the smallholder farmers must take all this collectively into consideration. And for the same reason, we had to hold back on some of finalizing some of the policies, the mechanization support, which will now become a chapter. We are developing the comprehensive producer development support policy. And we're at a stage where we are engaging various departments. We have a first draft. We are also engaging industry. But when all that is done and the studies above, we believe we will have a comprehensive producer development support that will help us determine how do we support, how much do we give, how long do we give, but also, ultimately, it will guide the various departments, because at the moment, there are a number of departments who are involved in agriculture, and you will find that different standards are being applied, and policy will provide that guide. We do expect that later on, we will get this policy or some elements of this policy legislated so that we can enforce consistent approach in providing development support. I think I'm going to stop here. I've listed also in one of the packs you have some of the private sector projects that we're discussing. And in the main, the private sector here requires our interventions, government, more than providing money, after mobilizing the farmers, removing certain blockages that may be there, whether it's access to land, whether it's the EIA, that we resolve those issues. We would link when some of these projects are ready, where financial support is required, we will link these projects to the smallholder farmers in those provinces where they are. We do indicate very clearly to them that whatever happens, we would want to make sure the smallholder farmers are benefiting. We believe they are high-impact projects. If they are concluded, they would become very useful. Also, PHM, and wait for guidance. I MLRF goes into the details of what is in the IPP, yes, and we would, and then I have the cast if you to hire me to do that.
Honorable member, we allow to present the cast story. Yeah, please.
Chairperson, if members have got that presentation, I will talk to both CAST and ILIMA Nitsima. And I will move to, I'll tell you the first slide that I will talk to. The slide number 10, that's where the allocations are. What is different this year, and I want to talk to that, is the fact that there is an allocation of the 76 million that had to do with the outstanding floods. When there were floods previously in the various provinces, the allocation has been staggered. And in this current year, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Western Cape, and these are decisions that were taken some years back when the floods, that the fiscus would not be able to provide all the funds, and it will be programmed. And in this, we have done the Northern Cape, and what comes in is Bobo and Mpumalanga. Those are the floods that happened several years ago, and it was determined at that point that this would be allocated over time. But that's the total allocation of 1.6 that includes this disaster, flood disaster. And this is the Nitsima, how it's broken down per province, 491. Now, we are bringing these, making sure that the CAST contributes to the revitalization of agriculture and agro-processing value chain. There are four or five elements there, and in the market access where we have the agri-facts, we do expect that the CAST allocations will play a role, and one is indicated in the bluish color where CAST will get involved. Under the producer support, also the revitalization, CAST and ILIMA would make that contribution. Under the technical support, also the producer support, CAST will also contribute in making sure that there is a support provided, and that would include, amongst other things, the provision of the graduates, the support to the colleges, and the training of staff. The production in the 1 million hectares will also be supported, and all of these are contributing to the both APAP and the revitalization. The funds as proposed would be allocated firstly to the red meat value chain, and you see the breakdown per province, that 339 million will go towards the red meat value chain. And that would then there's a small amount that goes to piggery, but also dairy. In terms of poultry, 146 million will go towards supporting the poultry value chain. And for the first time, very clearly, there is an allocation that will support agriculture. 44 million will be used to support the agriculture in those projects that have been identified, supporting the ocean's economy. And you see there's a free state where we have our partnership program with the Chinese. There's also Limpopo, and I think often there's been questions, are we doing anything about the facilities we have? Those will be supported to make sure that the farmers are supported. So there's 44 million in addition to other funds from CAST that will go towards the aquaculture. There's also a breakdown in terms of the hectares that will be supported under FESOTLA, and part of the grades that you need will be to make sure that the hectareage is monitored. This will be the hardest according to the commodities, and you will see maize accounts for the bigger part of the target hectares. The grain production will take the bulk of that. Then there's a budget according to the various commodities, what has been pledged by various commodities, and we're looking at fruit, the grains, various other commodities. Then there also the support will go towards the irrigation schemes, and key would be the fowl hub, which is big, and and you will also find that as we do this, both ourselves and rural development will be contributing towards the various component of that. The same with Makadimi, we continue to do that, and Eben Hazer. Then there are other deliverables, smallholder farmers that will be supported through CAF. Those will be supported through Ilima Lizima. There will also be in that the commercial farmers will be supported through CAF and Ilima Lizima, and the subsistence producers will be supported, and we expect 9,800 jobs to be created, and the training that will be provided to 22,000 farmers and supported the colleges, and the flood disaster that I showed, 76,000, will benefit the 1,800 farmers, and also included in this is a partnership with PPECB to help the smallholder farmers come into the market readiness program through the SA GAP certification. Then, of course, we have the breakdown per province of slide number 23, both CAF and Ilima Lizima, in terms of the three categories of farmers. And this is what we have. We're still cleaning up the individual projects before we sign the final implementation agreement, and we will probably by the time we present also show you the various partnerships that or implementing arrangements that are in place for CAF. That means the collaboration with NAMAC, collaboration with ARC, collaboration with the PPECB, but also other implementing agents. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable members, that's the presentation of the department. You are welcome to engage on it. Honorable Thane, DG will note questions and then we'll respond later. Honorable Paulson will follow Honorable Thane. Yeah? Thank you, Chairperson, for the presentation, and also thank you to the Minister for attending the meeting and giving us his plans for the year. I will just focus for now on that slide, I think it's slide 9, the one of the, I think it's called challenges, situation analysis.